Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 16. In verse 11, you will show me the path of life. This is, of course, the psalmist speaking to God. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you are a believer, then Ephesians 2:6 tells us that you are in the presence of God, that He has seated you in heavenly places. You are in the presence of God. So for you, in the presence of God, there should be and is fullness of joy, and you are seated at the right hand of God in Christ. So at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Did you know that the normal condition of a Christian is to have joy and pleasure in everything? Now, I'm not saying that Christians normally do have this, but that is the normal condition, the way that a Christian should experience their life if everything is going as God made it to go in their life. They should have pleasure and they should have joy all the time, because they're always in His presence and they're always at His right hand. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. There's not just a little joy. It's full and complete joy. And in His right hand, there are always pleasures. So why don't Christians have joy and pleasures? And how do you protect them? Well, the simple reason is because we give them away. We destroy our own joy and we destroy our own pleasure. God is not interested in removing them from you for one moment, because God went to the cross to give them to you. But we separate ourselves from them. In Proverbs 14:2, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it are the ways of death. So people go about their lives, Christians go about their lives, and they start looking at things and saying, what's the best way for me here? What's the best thing I can do? That's not an unusual thing. That seems normal on the surface. But really, there's a part of this that's really not a good idea. It's really dependent on how you determine that. If you consider for yourself, wow, I can make this much money and that's going to be good for my life, therefore this is what I'll pursue, or I can have this relationship and I think that's going to end up good for my life, so that's what I'll pursue and what have you, I will guarantee you, you're going to give away your joy and you're going to give away your pleasure. You will not have either one, because there's a way that seems right. And it honestly does seem right. You can't see anything going wrong with this, but the end of it are the ways of death. So how do we go about things? Well, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So if there's a way that seems right to me, and that way is coming out of my own understanding, my own analysis of the situation, of circumstances, of my own needs, this is the way the world teaches people to be. This is called responsible in the world. Problem is, it's not. Problem is, it doesn't actually work. Because it may seem right, but it gets you nowhere. It actually gets you into very negative places. However, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and you don't lean on your own understanding, then you're going to get somewhere. Why? You have an adversary. His name is the devil. He's looking for anyone that will respond to him. In Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God has made. So that's the one thing you want to recognize. He's subtle and he's crafty. In other words, he's very quiet. You don't always see him coming. And he's very clever. And he, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said you shall not eat from every tree of the garden?" You could paraphrase this, and this is in the original language how it's said. Does it make any sense to you, Eve? That God said you cannot eat from every tree of the garden. He said you can eat of all these trees, but you can't eat from this best looking tree. Can that really be? Is that for real? Did you hear him right? Is this what he said? What is he trying to do? He's trying to get her, and he did this effectively, to stop relying on what God told them. Because God told him in Genesis 2:17, you can eat of any tree, but not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But that was one beautiful tree. But you can have any other tree whatsoever. Don't eat that one. Now, we know why he said that. He said that because in Ezekiel 31:18, that was Satan's tree. But believe it, that Satan didn't let Eve know whose tree that really was. He was hiding in her pet snake. And so he says to her, does it make any sense? And he got her to rely on her own understanding. In other words, she stopped trusting in the Lord with all her frame of reference. That's what the heart is, the frame of reference. And she started leaning on her own understanding when God says, don't do that. He wants you to do the same thing. He wants you to not lean on his word, not lean on what he says, not lean on his heart, not lean on his plan, call, will, any of it, but lean on your own understanding. Why does he want you to do that? Because the thing that protects you is the word of God. The thing that protects you is being led by the Holy Spirit. The thing that protects you is faith obedience and faith response to God and to the Word of God. If you step out from that, then the reality is, because we're human beings and this is our design, we have nothing to work with apart from the Word of God. Now, there are people that say, well, I can think. You don't have to be a Christian to think. Yes, we see how well that's working in the world. We see all these wars, we see all these problems, we see all this chaos, we see all this division, we see all these negative things in the world. Just look at the news 5 minutes and you'll be overwhelmed by it. I don't really recommend it, but I'm just saying. Why is that? Because people started thinking apart from the Word of God. People stopped trusting in the Lord with all their heart and they relied on their own understanding, and the result was insane. The result was complete chaos. Very negative, very damaging, very problematic. And quite frankly, a lot of people get killed because of it, because things like wars start as a result. God said, love one another as I have loved you. Where's the war in that? But you see, there are people out there who they don't care about love one another. They say, well, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do to get it. This is how it seems right to me. There is a way that seems right, and the end of it is a way of death, but it seems right to me. And if it's death, like certain world leaders, then who cares if somebody else's death? I'll get more power or what I desire out of it. Isn't that just wrong? Of course it is. It's just wrong. On every level, that's just wrong. But that's what people do. Why? They don't trust in the Lord and they trust in their own understanding. God says, trust in the Lord, don't rely on your own understanding. But Satan is subtle. And so he says to you, does that make any sense to you? You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to listen to the Bible. You're okay, just add this little bit where you're not really in faith obedience, but nothing will happen and you won't do anything and everything will go just fine. And it's all a big lie. It's all a big lie. In Genesis 3:4, And the woman said to him, we shouldn't eat it, we shouldn't touch it. God didn't say anything about touch it, that's when she added. And Satan says to her, you're not going to die. You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, that's your perception, you will start to understand, and you will be like gods, small g, not big G, small g. Some Bibles want to do a big G. It's the word Elohim in the original language, which can mean Trinity, but more often means angels. In Ezekiel 31, it says that the trees in the garden were representative of angels. He even knew a lot of angels. So you will be like the angels, which she did admire, knowing good from evil. She really admired the angels. So this seemed good to her. What happened there? Satan gave her two promises. He said, you won't die, and your perception will be open, so you'll be like the angels. The exact opposite of both of those is what came about. Satan will lie to people. And he'll say to you, it's okay, you won't die. Nothing bad will happen if you walk away from doing things right with God. After all, you have feelings. After all, you have needs. After all, you can think for yourself, can't you? Nothing bad will happen. And then the person does it and something bad happens. It works like that every time. Why? Because Satan is a liar. In John 8:44, he is a liar. He's a murderer. He was one from the beginning. He does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, from his own heart. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So people get tempted into doing things, and the temptation is something of a promise. This'll be fun. You'll be accepted if you do this. You won't be alone anymore. You'll be happier. You'll get what you want. He gives them these promises. Just don't do it God's way. And after all, God's not doing it for you right now, is he? Actually, he's doing a lot more for you than you realize. Just as a brief aside, for all those people who might be listening on the internet saying to themselves, yeah, God isn't doing it for me right now. You have no idea. Read Romans 5, 3 to 5. This period that seems so difficult to you because of whatever negative experience you think you're having, maybe you're lonely, maybe you're in need of some kind, maybe you need financial help, maybe you are in relationship trouble, maybe you have all kinds of things going on, whatever it is, it can be absolutely anything. People say, well, God's not doing it, he's not giving me what I want, he's not giving me the provision I want, he's not giving me the person I want anybody, I just want somebody, whatever. A lot of people like that in the world, right? And they start to go for it. If God's not going to give it to me, I'm going to go and get it myself. Oh, bad mistake. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 5, tribulation, which is any kind of a trial, any kind of a problem, any kind of pressure, any kind of negative seeming experience, those things that people are talking about that make it so hard for them, young people, that's usually either financial, either something to do with the future, or something to do with relationships. And it has some kind of negative fear or loneliness or anxiety attached to it. Tribulation works patience. Patience, by the way, is the first manifestation of the love of God. It's 1 Corinthians 13:4. Patience, then, works experience. So tribulation provides patience. Patience provides experience. Experience provides confident expectation. Because when you've seen God come through, you know He will. And that confident expectation results in love being in your frame of reference. In Romans 8:29, you have been first and foremost called, and this is your purpose, to be conformed to the image of Christ. One of the most effective ways that that takes place is those things where Satan tempts when it's taking place. Because he doesn't want you conformed to the image of Christ. Oh, but I want that. You know what happens to people? They start to feel sorry for themselves. Oh, this is so hard. I'm always stressed. I'm always scared. I'm always lonely. I'm always whatever it is. This is so hard. They're feeling sorry for themselves. You know, it's funny. Feeling sorry for yourself makes everything 100 times harder. And then when you don't feel sorry for yourself, nothing seems all that hard at all. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Get some guts. Don't be self-indulgent. And don't feel sorry for yourself. And if you feel sorry for yourself right now, knock it off. Because you're making yourself miserable. You see, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Self-orientation, one of the manifestations of which is feeling sorry for yourself, will destroy pleasures and joy that can take you very easily through difficult circumstances. Everyone can have joy in difficult circumstances. Everyone can have pleasure in difficult circumstances. But not if you start to feel sorry for yourself. You see, we give it away. And we do it through natural reasoning, just like Satan did with Eve. And then in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good, suitable, and pleasant for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make a person wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate. And this was bad news. What happened here? In Genesis 3:2, when she initially answered him, and she said to him, God said, we will not eat of this tree. And then she added, we will not touch it. But even so, everything was clear. Everything was simple. She was oriented to what God said, and everything was clear and simple, and there were no problems. Everything was easy to understand. No big deal. But then, she became self-oriented. And she did it because Satan initiated that. Does it make any sense to you? And now she was thinking in what she thought, self-oriented, and what she liked, and what she thought was good. And she started thinking outside of the Word of God, and all of a sudden, everything got confusing. God's not the author of confusion. Satan is. God is not the author of complicated. You ever hear somebody say, well, this is a very complicated situation? No, it's really not. Somebody's entering into a wrong relationship and they want to really go after this. Well, see, it's more complicated than that. I've heard that a million times. It's more complicated than that. People do things God's way, okay? Well, it's more complicated than that. No, it's really not. It's really not more complicated than that. Do things God's way. You see, what happens is when people get self-oriented, things get complicated. When I enter into thinking without God, things get complicated. Why? Because I don't have a brain to think with. Neither of our brains are designed to think with God, yours or mine. When I'm thinking apart from the Word of God, I'm not thinking. That's the thing. And then it becomes complicated because I don't have a brain to work with. If I'm thinking with the Word of God, my brain is working. And everything is simple. Things are not complicated, it's just sometimes people don't want them that way. And that's called lust. If I want something apart from the will of God, that's what God calls lust. You don't go there. It stays really simple when you do it God's way, when you think with His Word. You see, what happened to Eve? What she knew was sin stopped being sin in her estimation. And when she started thinking that way, she entered into sin. Now, in Hebrews 11:25, sin does bring pleasure for a short time. But in Romans 6:23, it ends up in death. Satan will point to the pleasure, and then you get the death. It's like the carrot and the stick approach. He'll dangle a carrot in front of you, and then when you take the carrot, he'll whack you over the head with a stick. He always lies. Temptation is a lie. Why do people give up pleasure and joy? When they get self-oriented and step out of the ways of God. That's what Satan did to Eve. That's what he'll try to do to you also. Eventually, if it hasn't happened yet, he will try. When he tries, recognize what's going on. Be ready for it. This is one of the reasons why we preach things like this. Be ready for it. And it won't touch you. You know what Eve should have said to him? The Lord rebuke you. When he said, does it make any sense to you? Her response should have been, the Lord rebuke you. She should have walked away and that would have been the end of that. In Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of putting on a coat. Put him on. Make no provision for your old sin nature to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what Satan got her to do. Now in John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. In Proverbs 3:6, if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, He will direct your path. And then you have this one promise that always works for you. In Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that means faith. And everything you could possibly want. In Ephesians 3:20, he goes above anything you can ask or think. All of it will be given to you if you seek first the kingdom of God and you respond to Him in faith. The beautiful thing in that is, no matter what happens, if that's your approach, you'll never lose joy, and you'll always have pleasures. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.